we will be talking to Sean Monahan now in a minute or two, for CEO for Malone. He has a programme put together with regard to suggestions with regard to what they should do, people, particularly senior citizens, and senior citizens could do to alleviate any of the hardships or all of the hardships that is associated with cold weather. And you know the old saying, the older you get, the bolder you get. And I think we may have Sean on the line at the moment. Are you there, Sean?
I am indeed.
Ah, Sean, yeah, and we wanted to talk to you about your initiative now with regard to the cold weather and the onslaught of it. And apparently it won't be just an overnight thing. It apparently it may be here for weeks, maybe on end.
Well, I suppose we all hope we'd be coming out of the winter now, but it looks like we're going to get a cold snap. I think the big thing, and we appreciate the opportunity today, big thing we're trying to get across to people is that for older people, that this is a public health issue and that people must keep warm, keep moving and keep in touch.
Yeah, and keeping in touch is essential because senior citizens might need medication or they might just need a bottle of milk.
And absolutely.
And if the snow that they're predicting will come, apparently it's not the slushy old stuff that we usually get. This will be firm and powdery stuff, and it just won't go away. It'll just stick on the road, and then at night when it freezes, it can get very, very slippy, and it's not advisable at all for senior citizens or quite a lot of other people to be out on that type of weather. And if you have neighbours, etc., are very, very welcome at this time of year. And even you can, the phone is essential. And you can ring your niece.
Absolutely.
Your niece, your nephew.
I think what we'll be doing this week is we'll be checking in with all the older people we work with. And, you know, people to check that they're okay for food, medication and heat. And what we have to say to people is they must prioritise heat. Some people might be worried about money or paying the bills, because 1 in 10 older people might struggle to pay the bills. But that's not for this week. There'll be another day to organise them, and the utility companies or people like us will help you. We sort those types of problems out. But this week it's about keeping warm, because people, we know the cold is dangerous for older people, but people may not realise that. That ultimately the cold, unfortunately, can kill some people because of pneumonia and infections. I'm not a doctor, but we have this terrible thing called excess winter death. So people die because of the coldness and drafts and heat in their housing. And older people live in the oldest housing with the poorest insulation. So ultimately, people must mind themselves and must keep linked in with people, especially when because this might last a few days.
Yeah, and we're advising people, if you can't heat the whole house, at least heat one room and stay in that room.
Absolutely. And I mean, people wear layers. There's times, you know, maybe keep some of the curtains closed. You know, if your rooms you're not using a lot, keep the curtains closed, especially if they're full length, keep the heat in. Everything else is heat the rooms that you live in or sleep in the most, and close up the other rooms, whatever people have to do. But it's really essential that they do this.
And yeah, a pillow put up against the door where a draft is coming in, a quarter of an inch around the gap of the door. You might as well have a foot by a foot hole in the door, you know. And anything that'll keep out drafts is essential. A rug rolled up and pushed against the door. The only thing is don't trip over it. Maybe to go out, that's the only thing.
But look, we all year round are helping older people the age of home, but in this type of weather we need all the community to also get involved and to realise in some ways that a third of older over 65s live on their own, and 1 in 4 older people, and obviously even higher in the older age groups, you know, 70 and 75 plus, are considered frail. So even going out, slips, trips and falls are very dangerous for people. You know, people actually, you know, your chances of dying after breaking your hip go up several 100% fold in the next year, you know. So these are why this is really important. You know, it's not just it's not just a nicety. This is a public health issue, and it's a matter of keeping people safe, and together we'll all get through this.
And yes, and if you have a mobile phone, make sure it's charged up. And if it's one of the pay-as-you-go one, make sure there's a few bob in it. And that is absolutely essential, because if anything happens, or you think anything is going to happen, you can ring your whoever you have to ring, your niece and nephew. And if you're stuck, the fire brigade, they will help you out. And you know, the Lord Mayor has put the winter initiative, he put it in place last December, right? And they're working with the fire brigade, the ambulance service, everybody that will be required during this very, very cold snap. We think it's going to be.
And we all work together to make sure we all get through the winter safe. And unfortunately, this looks like it's going to be one of the bad ones, that where we get the bad snow and everything else is. And sometimes that brings out the best of us, and great relationships started the last time we'd snow, where people were helping out their neighbours and friends, and some of those relationships and that support continued. So we're hoping that's what will happen again, and we'll get everybody through it. And ultimately, hopefully, we'll go back to spring next week or the following week.
Hopefully. And it will be enjoyable, as such. But don't rush out if it does get spring-like and start to pull up all the dead flowers or anything like that. Leave that in the middle of the summer. You know, common sense. You know, if you can wrap up with blankets, anything you like. You know, hypothermia is a most peculiar disease. You think you're warm, but your body's leaving heat rapidly. And people, it just can kill people very, very quickly, hypothermia.
From my reading in the area, is that basically what happens is, you know, you get a cold snap now, and then what happens is maybe 10 days after the cold snap is gone, that's when maybe people get pneumonia or they get infections and all these things. So in some ways, you know, we're always worried about, you know, the day of the snow, but it's about keeping warm through all of that so that you don't actually get sick afterwards, and maybe that's something that really knocks you back, you know?
Yeah, and of course, as a last resort, if the very, very cold weather comes and you're feeling the cold, just get into bed and put plenty of stuff on top of you. And keep you safe for X amount of time.
That's it. And I mean, this is not meant to hit till tomorrow afternoon. So if people need to get batteries, get torches if needed, as you say, charge up your phone, make sure they've got food in now, and maybe even simple food to prepare, you know, some microwave stuff necessary, you know, just so people are ready to go.
Porridge, and things. Even.
Hopefully this doesn't turn out as bad as they're saying, do you know what I mean? But you have to, you know, plan for the worst and hope for the best. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to do that. And you're working in conjunction with everybody. I know now, just to go off the vert a little bit, you were looking for a minister for loneliness. Now, apparently apparently they have one in England, and you think that this is working very, very well.
Well, I think what it is, I think we need it. The great thing is in the UK, they've realised that loneliness, again, go back, is a health issue. Loneliness will shorten your life. You know, that's how serious it is. And sometimes, you know, we have 700 volunteers currently who will be visiting every week and supporting during the snow and everything else. And our plan is to go to 7,000. You know, the community's changed. Some of the shops are gone. People have moved online. The people that were in a community during the day may not be there anymore. So older people can end up cut off, especially if they've had some poor health or they've a disability or they're in the house a lot. And we really need to combat that. And ultimately so they've realised in the UK it's as serious enough to have a minister. We're using the fact that they're saying that, and the fact that they've realised that, to start the conversation in Ireland. What are we going to do about the epidemic of a loneliness that we have and the pain and suffering that goes in it for people?
Yes, and we know now you can be living in the middle of a city and it can be very, very lonely. And of course, it doesn't always attack older people, or attack maybe not an appropriate word. But, you know, by and large, it descends upon senior citizens. Maybe their partner has passed on, or their husband or wife or close friends have gone, and you're left on your own. And and if the weather is bad, I'm not talking about the type of weather we're expecting. If the weather is bad, you're not inclined to go out anywhere, you know, particularly if it's raining and that.
Absolutely. And I think what happens is as you described it really well there, they're simple things that unfortunately happen. People retire, they lose a set of relationships. Then maybe their health isn't quite as good, so they're not socialising as much. Then maybe bereavement of a partner. And the next thing you know, you've got less of a support structure. Maybe family have moved away, or you never had family, never had children. So next thing you know, somebody turns around and they're 70, 75, and you've got 14 hours a day where you don't talk to anybody. Days on end where your only company is the telly. Then what happens is people stop minding themselves. They stop looking after their health, because it becomes they lose their confidence and they lose the ability to mind themselves, and then reaching out becomes even more difficult.
Yes, and you could be watching the television for 15 hours a day, like you said, or 14 or 10 or any time, and of course sooner or later you're going to get bored with that, and you're not going to do anything. And everything starts to slip, you know. You're not tidying up the house like you used to.
And that's it. And everything starts to slip. And that's where people, I would encourage anybody listening who's either started on that journey or could say, could be me, and that could be any one of us in the future, or any one older person there. So around a third of the older people who ring us for befriending services and support make that phone call themselves, which I think is amazingly brave, and it's brilliant. And we want to encourage any older person who's out there struggling either with loneliness or with poor heating or poor housing or poor time. The community does care. We care. Reach out, give us a call, and we'll try and make this year or next year better than last year. You don't have to struggle on your own. As an organisation, as I said, we're trying to reimagine the community. And instead of maybe where the local shop has gone or some of the people have gone out to the community, we're using volunteers to be that community.
Yes, and if they need anything, they'll volunteer and get it. Maybe not on the spot, but the next day, if they need a briquette or something like that, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We bring company and practical support to people who maybe just ended up by life. It's like the journey we've just described, and things are a little bit difficult, and all they need is that helping hand and to know that human contact, which is vital to us all.
Yeah, well, and maybe just a friendly voice at the other end of the phone.
Absolutely. You'd be amazed. We also run up a friendly call service where we ring people, who need support or need some prompting or need just to check in, and you'd be amazed how people go, oh, well, you ring me on Tuesdays and Thursdays and it's great, I know I have to get up. Yeah, grand, getting that done, blah, blah, blah. And that conversation goes on, and it's important because we all want to be remembered, and we all want to be seen.
And maybe little bits of niggling worries will just emerge, you know, and the volunteer will maybe point the person in the right direction.
Absolutely, and sometimes that's all any of us need. Do you know what I mean? If you're, as you can imagine, maybe somebody's got some bad news around their health. Maybe some people have some change or financial issues. Imagine having nobody to talk to. And maybe you're at your lowest ebb and you have to deal with some big challenges in your life. And then you'd nobody to help and nobody to discuss with. And literally, that's what our volunteers do for people. They become that emotional support as people go through the journeys and challenges that they face sometimes in old age.
Yeah, and quite a lot of senior citizens now, they might be entitled to quite a lot of things that they don't think they're entitled to. And you know, they might get the form and you have to tick the boxes, and I never did that before, and you know, and it might be 5 pages long. That type of you know, assistance can be absolutely terrific if a person is
lucky. You know yourself, when we all get a letter in, maybe from the taxman or from this sort of phone things, I think we all get that level of anxiety. Do you know what I mean? Reading them and then, what do I do with this? And so much then has gone online, and you have to apply for this and apply for that. And so what we have to do is make it possible for people to get access to these services, especially because what a lot of staff do here is they coordinate services for older people. And what they do is help them. And in the UK, they're actually called service navigators, because you've multiple systems around health, you've multiple systems around housing, you've multiple systems around relationships, the law, all of these things people need help with. And what we do is we've got volunteers working day in, day out, and then they're backed up by a dedicated hard working group of staff who deal with the sort of more complex and challenging issues for people.
Yeah, and now the financial situation is now, of course, sooner or later, everything will be plastic. The plastic card, right?
That's for sure.
And like a person who has been handling pounds, shillings and pence and punts and euros for the last I don't know how long, normally have a routine with regard to, you know, paying bills, etc., etc. So much is put aside every week for this, that and the other thing. And, you know, this new digital age can be very, very, very confusing, even to the best of people. Particularly senior citizens. Well, I never handled that type of stuff before, type of thing. I just used to pay in the post office every month or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Or I pay the grocer man every week for whatever I got. But now it's supermarkets and they want swipe cards and they want all sorts of things, which we're not used to. And a little bit of a helping hand, a learning helping hand, can go quite a lot way. Long, long way.
Yeah, and where it's not the focus today, in another part of what we do, we're rolling out technology to help older people age at home, assistive technologies around temperature, data, keeping safe and well in your own home, and managing your own health, because we find people do want to learn, you know, new skills. People do want to learn about the computerization and stuff, but they have no access to learning it, or else it's too daunting to do on your own. So we hope in some small way to also help older people in that area, as you say, it goes much more to a digital age and much more online and a bit more confusing and difficult to deal with.
Yeah, and even secondary school children, right, can teach, you know, senior citizens quite a lot with regard to the digital age. And when they get the hang of it, it becomes quite easy, but when they get the hang of it, they're able to use it even to maybe just get a train ticket or apply for something or other, or this, that, or just something simple, and then it progresses from there. You know, it's like learning the ABC again.
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment, we're doing a pilot at the moment, as I said, in the assist technology. And the biggest exciting thing for the older people who are involved, and there's a broad range of them, is the fact that they're all going to get one of these tablets. So, you know, the type of thing, it's touch screen and all of that. So that basically they can go online and they can learn some of these skills in their own home. And they then have something that they can stay linked into the world. Whereas most of what we're trying to do is use technology to drive human contact, to have people pick up the phone to do that. We also see that we can use technology to empower people to stay in touch and also to manage their own health in their home.
Yeah, and of course Skype now and all these different applications. Once you get the hang of them, it's instantaneous. You can talk to somebody in Montreal or whatever.
Absolutely. And maybe some people who are far away aren't really as far away as they once were.
Oh, not at all, no. And, apparently, maybe the grandchildren have gone to work and anywhere, like the Irish people are scattered all over the world. And every now and then, you know, the grandchild may be Skyping from out of Mongolia, and wishing the grandparent, maybe the great-grandparent, a happy birthday and a chat, etc. And that's available. That does a huge amount to motivate senior citizens, we found.
Absolutely, and I think that's the key, whereas we always need the human contact. We need that one-to-one. We need that cups of tea, the calling in, the practical support, those, you know, trips to the cinema, everything else. But when they're not always available, having a situation where you can link in online, say hello to family and friends that far away and see them as well as hear them, I think is a wonderful thing that is very easy for older people. If we can set them up, it's a very easy thing for them to link into.
Yes, and now hopefully, Sean, the weather won't be as bad as they predict. But we can't be sure but at least let us all be prepared. And if you have to get the old Gansey out...
The minister's quoting 1982, and unfortunately I'm old enough to remember 1982, which is where we had a few snow drifts and that, but hopefully it doesn't get that bad. But if we plan for the worst, you know, and hope for the best, and then I think hopefully this will bring out the best in everybody, and we'll be working hard all this week to support all the older people that are linked in to us. Yeah. And if any of your listeners have concerns or worries, please give us a call, and we'll do everything we can to help them.
And I would urge anybody who's listening, if you have an elderly neighbour, maybe it's two doors up or three doors down or even one street across, just look in to them to see are they okay. Do they need anything?
That's it. And people sometimes worry about doing that, but every relationship starts with hello and, you know, how are you going? Are you okay?
Yeah,
you know,
if you want anything over in the shop, particularly it's going to get...
Exactly.
You want milk. You know, it'll hardly go sour this weather, but however, there are things you will want. There's always something short, you know, and if you have the basics, even porridge, it'll keep you going till things get better. Okay, Sean, thanks very much for coming on a short
notice. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, and hopefully everything will work out. And we'll be back shortly to find out how, when all this kerfuffle goes over and all the clothes is put back in the closet and the wardrobe or whatever, we'll be talking to you again, right? Okay, Sean, bye.
Appreciate that. Take care.
Bye-bye. Right, bye.